then we will be complete. 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 7. Some of you may be interested. Our children got into Dallas on Saturday. They started that process on Thursday. It was really kind of a long process. They got to the airport 7 hours beforehand because of situations. So they sat there 7 hours before the flight. They got on the plane. They stayed an hour and a half to 2 hours on the tarmac, and then they canceled their flight. So they had to get off of their flights, and this is in Hong Kong, and had to stay in the airport because of COVID restrictions. Couldn't leave the airport, so they had to stay in the airport until the following day to find out what was going to happen. They got a flight that then flew them to Tokyo, Japan. So they flew up to Tokyo, about, 7-8 hour flight, something like that. And luckily, just a few hour layover. And then they flew from Tokyo, Japan to Dongho, Qatar, which was about a 16 hour flight. Had a couple of hours layover, and then flew from Doha to Dallas-Fort Worth, which is another 12 or 13 hours. So it's about a three-day ordeal, but they have made it home. And when I got out of church this morning, I looked at my phone, and she had texted me her Texas phone number. And I said, praise Jesus and hallelujah, you know. And so they're back in Texas, and I'm grateful for that. All right. Let's begin reading with verse number 5. Our text tonight is just one verse, and it's verse number 7, but let's kind of read a few verses to get into it. He says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you should be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. We talked about that last week. Put on the garment of humility. For God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace or favor or blessing to the humble. And then he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty, mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. And then our verse tonight is this, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. This verse has been a tremendous help to me. I think it's one of the most important verses outside of John 3:16 that Christians need to know. Cast all your care upon him. Why? For he careth for you. And so tonight I just want to talk to you about casting your burdens. And we're going to look at several passages of Scripture tonight. And I want you to turn there if you have a Bible, because I want to show you some things that I promise you will be a help. And you're going to need, as I have needed in my life, the things that I'm going to talk to you about tonight. There was a man one day that said to his friends, and many of you can relate to this, man, you sure look worried. The man responded, man, I've got so many troubles. Anybody ever had any troubles? He said, if something else goes wrong with me today, I'll have to wait 2 weeks to get around to worrying about it. It's been said that worry is a thin stream of fear trickling through the mind. If encouraged, it cuts a channel into which all other thoughts are drained. As Americans today, we are divided almost everything, but USA Today took a poll at the end of last year, and here is what they found. 9 out of 10 Americans are having trouble staying sane. People are troubled all around us. They're anxious, they're worried, what is going to take place? Many people are worried about, hey, how am I going to have enough money to buy gas? I've heard on the news the last few days there are people that have quit their jobs because they don't have enough money to buy gas to go back and forth to work. I think about young families that are just trying to start out life, and maybe they're trying to buy a house and buy a car, and maybe they have some young families, and maybe they're not making a whole lot of money, and now grocery prices are out the roof, and gas prices are out the roof, and electricity prices are out the roof. I think back to my early 20s, you know, we just kind of lived from paycheck to paycheck, was trying to get things going, and I think about young families that are just struggling and thinking about how in the world are we going to make it with all of this inflation that is going on. We hear about there's coming a worldwide food shortage. I've heard that many times from different sources of news organizations that, hey, in the future, we're going to have a worldwide food shortage. And I used to do all the grocery shopping, but now that CJ's retired, she goes to the store. But she'll come home and tell me, hey, there wasn't anything on this shelf. There wasn't anything on that shelf. They didn't have this. For a while, we couldn't even get crackers in our in the store. And I'm thinking, we live in America where the store shelves are packed solid. But you know what? As you go to the store, you find out, hey, there's getting to be more and more empty shelves. It's a cause for concern. Retired people that are living on Social Security. I remember Lucille when she was here, and some of you had parents. She got, $900 a month? No, that's too much. $500 a month is what she got on a Social Security check. She had to pay rent. She had to pay utilities, whatever she had. Living on $500 a month. Can you imagine? And there are probably some that are living close to that on just a very small Social Security check. And now everything is going up. And they've got to be wondering, how are we going to make all of it meet? If you've been putting money into a retirement account as I have, you've quit looking at it because it is going I have lost about 25% or 20% of what I had in my retirement account since the first of the year. And I'm not too many years away from doing that. And I think, goodness gracious, what am I going to have when I get there? How about married couples that are going through problems, that are going through difficulties? There'll be a wife tonight that'll go to bed and she won't be able to sleep tonight because she'll be wondering, hey, is her husband having an affair or is her marriage relationship coming to an end? Is she fixing to be a single mother? Is she going to be the sole provider for her children? Perhaps you woke up this week, or maybe someone you know woke up this week and they have a new pain, they have a new ailment, or maybe they have a spot on them and they begin to think about when their parents got sick and maybe a friend of theirs got sick and they begin to think, you know, I wonder if I have cancer. I wonder if I am going to hear those words when I go to the doctor. You say, that only happens to old people. No, Brother Chris preached a funeral on Tuesday of a 52-year-old woman that was full of life, that was living life to the fullest, but her life was cut short because she had cancer. He's talked about Melissa Brillhart. She is late 30s, early 40s. She's just a young girl. She's a young woman. She's just in the prime of her life, but yet she has walked into a doctor's office and a doctor has told her, hey, your days here on this earth is numbered because you have a dreaded disease. I saw that obituary yesterday of that funeral that you're going to preach, and she's just a young woman, just a young girl, and you know what? She's got cancer. Sometimes people worry about those things. There are grandparents, and I'm a grandparent, and I don't know about you, but I think about what my grandchildren are going to face and what they're going to have to live in and what they are going to see and what they are going to experience in 5 and 10 years from now. And listen to me, it is a concern that I have. Our morality today is plummeting. Does anybody watch America's Got Talent besides me and CJ? On Tuesday, they like to push a lot of things, but there is a term that's being pushed in this country. I see it fairly frequently in different things, but on Tuesday, they had a man that got up and he did impersonations. He was a voiceover for Hollywood and he was really good. I enjoyed his little performance, but as they were interviewing him, he was talking about and they showed his wife and their girlfriend. They were talking about they are living in a polyamory lifestyle. That is where you have three people basically all live as one, you know, a married couple and a boyfriend or a girlfriend or whatever. But, you know, it's just all one. And if you will kind of pay attention, you see that that is being pushed in society. It's no big deal. It's just, hey, if you love one another, it's just all wonderful in love. Listen to me. I don't know what in the world is going to happen. But I tell you, I worry about it for my kids, what they're going to be exposed to. On and on we could go. You have worries. You have concerns. I have worries. I have concerns. Yours are probably different than mine, but all of us, as we live in life, we are going to have things that we worry about that we are concerned about. When Peter writes to these Christians that are dispersed all through the Roman Empire, he's going to talk to them, as you've known, about hardships and difficulties. If you look in chapter 1, in verse number 6, it was the first time he really talks to them about it. He says, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. Peter says, you know what, as you live the Christian life, there's going to be trials and difficulties. There's going to be heartaches in your life. And then verse number 7, he talks about the trying of one's faith. In chapter 2 and in verse number 20, he says this, for what glory is it if when ye are buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? But if when ye do well, ye suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is acceptable to God. Peter is saying, you know what, if you live the Christian life, if you stand for the things of the Lord, you are going to endure difficulties in your life. But if you will take it pleasantly or patiently, as Brother Chris kind of talked about this morning, he says, hey, that is acceptable to God. Verse number 21 through verse number 25, he talks about how Jesus is our example. He was reviled, and when he was reviled, he didn't give it back. And when he was mocked, he didn't give it back. But he took his suffering patiently on the cross with these words, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. In chapter 3 and verse number 14, Peter says this, but and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, Peter says, hey, if you live a righteous life, if you live a godly life, hey, suffering is going to come, but here is how you should respond. Happy are ye when ye go through those things. In chapter 3 and verse number 17, Peter once again says this, for it is better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. When was the last time that you did something right and you did something kind and gentle and it cost you something? Peter says, hey, if you live for the Lord, that's going to happen, but God's going to bless you if you do it the right way. And then in chapter number 4, basically the whole chapter is about suffering. In verse number 1, he says, for as much as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same mind. Verse number 12 of chapter number 4, beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Verse number 14, if ye be reproached for the name of Christ. So over and over, Peter has tried to warn these Christians that are in the Roman Empire. Hey, troubles are coming, difficult days are coming, hardships are coming. But the thing that I like about Peter, he doesn't just give the problem, but he gives some solutions, some very practical solutions. In chapter 1, in verse number 3 through 5, as we preach, he talked to them about what they have in Jesus Christ and that Christ is willing to protect them and Christ is going to keep them until the last days. In verse number 7 through verse number 12, he talks about the trying of the faith, that it draws us closer to the Lord. And you know, experientially, the times that you have drawn closer to the Lord is when you've gone through some difficulties in your life, gone through some hardships in your life. Paul says, hey, the trials are more precious than gold. In chapter 2, in verse number 23, he says basically this, those that commit themselves to God, we commit ourselves to God because He judges righteously. I can hear my dad saying this over and over in my mind when we were talking about things that seemed unfair, and my dad would say, they're going to stand before God one day. They're going to have to answer to God one day. They're going to have to give an account to God one of these days. And you know, there are a lot of things in our life that we may not understand. And there's a lot of people that get away with things that we think, hey, God should judge. But just keep in mind, they will give an account to God. In chapter 4, in verse number 5, once again, God talks about the judgment and that all men are going to have to answer for their actions. And then verse number 12 through verse number 19 in chapter number 4, when we have burdens, he says, I want you to rejoice. And I want you to realize that the blessings of God will be upon your life. And then I don't want you to be ashamed at the name of Jesus Christ. But I believe the most practical thing that Peter gives in dealing with burdens is verse number 7. He says, cast those big cares. Is that what it says? Cast all, big, little, small, insignificant, cast all your care upon Him. That word cast means to throw. When I was studying this, I thought about taking all the cares, and the picture was putting it in a ball and taking it back and throwing it to the Lord. That's the picture. He says, cast, take it, throw it, cast it, all your care upon Him. Have you ever been betrayed by a close friend? Have you ever had a child rip your heart out? I want you to go with me to Psalms chapter number 55. Psalms chapter number 55, because I've always said there is no hurt like a kid hurt. There is no hurt in life of someone that you have counted a friend, someone that you've walked with, someone that you prayed with, someone that you've counseled with, someone that you've been around, and then they betray you, they turn their back on you. But do you realize David experienced that? David's own son, Absalom, ran him out of his kingdom. David had a chief counselor by the name of Ahithophel, and he was a very good friend to him, and Ahithophel turned his back on him. And when all of this is taking place, David writes this psalm. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplications. Attend unto me, hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they do hate me. If you don't sense the emotion that David is pouring out here, you're going to miss the importance of the text. David is brokenhearted because his son has betrayed him, his close friend has betrayed him. Notice what he says in verse number 12. For it was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. Verse number 16, as for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. You see, David's heartbroken. He says, you know what, if it was an enemy, if it was someone that had come out against me, he said, I could deal with that. And you know what, you and I can deal with that. When people that we know are sworn enemies, when they come out against us, it's no big deal. But when someone that we love and someone that we invest our life in and someone that we trust, when they betray us and they come against us, there is no hurt like that. And this is where David is. And he says, I'm going to call upon the Lord, and the Lord shall save me. How often is he going to do it? Verse number 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah. Because they have no changes, therefore they fear not God. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. And then here's that verse. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. But thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their lives, but I will trust in thee. If I were going to give you the very best of advice that I could give you as a Christian, it would be verse number 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, because he will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You hear me say this all the time because I don't want you to be surprised. At some point in your life, you're going to need this verse. It may be 10 years from now. It may be 15 years. And there are many people that are sitting in this congregation tonight that needed this verse because their life, the rug got pulled out from under them. David said, I'm going to cast my burdens upon the Lord. I want you to go with me to Genesis chapter number 32. In Genesis chapter number 32, this is the story of Jacob and Esau. If you're familiar with the Bible, you know all of the things that Jacob did to Esau. He stole his birthright. He ran from him. But now he wants to go and meet Esau. In verse number 11 of Genesis 32, he says this, "Deliver me, I pray thee, from the hand of my brother and from the hand of Esau. For I fear him, lest he will come and smite me and the mother with the children." You go on and you read the rest of this from down to verse number 23. He sends all kinds of presents to Esau to try to calm his heart, to try to make him sweet. But before he does that, in verse number 24, notice what Jacob does. "And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled with the man with him until the breaking of the day. When he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thighs, and the hollow of Jacob's thighs was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' And he said, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, 'For I have seen the face of God,' or 'I've seen God face to face, and my life is preserved.'" Every time I think about this text, I think about a message that I heard many years ago by one of my favorite preachers. Most people don't like him, but I love him. His name is Jack Hiles. He's got a famous message that he preached all over this country. It's called Fresh Oil. And in that message, he relays the story of how his ministry had just become lethargic. People weren't being saved, and the church wasn't doing just all that it should. He got to thinking, you know what, maybe it's time for me to leave, or maybe God has removed his hand from me. And he said on a Saturday night, he got in his office and he said, "I've got to get this settled." And he began to pray. 10 o'clock came and went and he was still praying. 11 o'clock came and went and he was still praying. 1 o'clock came and went and he was still praying, and on. And about 3 o'clock at night, there was a deacon that came to his office and said, "Preacher, God woke me up. There's something the matter. I just needed to come down here and see what was the matter." And Jack Hiles began to tell him what was going on. And for the next 2 or 3 hours, those two men knelt and prayed. And he said, way up early in the morning, God came down into that office and spoke to him and said, hey, not an audible voice, but spoke to his heart and said, "You know what? I'm not through with you. I'm going to bless you and use you." You see, we live in a busy society today, don't we? But I can remember the old timers talking about prevailing prayer. Not praying for 5 minutes, not praying for 10 minutes, not praying for an hour, but I can remember all night prayer meetings, and I can remember people talking about praying hour after hour after hour and saying just basically what Jacob said, "God, I'm not going to quit until I hear from you." We need to do that sometimes. You see, it's easy to complain about everything that is around us. But I'm telling you, what we need as God's people is to get on our knees and say, "God, I'm staying here until you encourage my heart. God, I'm staying here until I see you do something marvelous." Casting all your care upon him. Sometimes it takes some while. Remember the text in, I believe it's Luke chapter number 18, where the widow woman came to the judge over and over, and the story goes that because she wouldn't quit, she just kept relenting, she just kept going, the judge says, "All right, I'll grant you what you want." Sometimes you can't put God in a 5 or 10 minute prayer. Sometimes you got to stay with him. That's what Esau said, "Man, I am not going until, God, I hear from you, until you meet my need." In Matthew chapter number 6, what about all of these folks that are just trying to meet the necessities? You know, all of us that are here tonight, far as I know, are blessed. We don't have to worry about going to the grocery store and being able to buy groceries. But I'm telling you, there is a lot of people in this world that has no idea where their next meal is going to come from. There are probably people that are living in Slayton, Texas, and some of the children, they may go to bed tonight and they may be hungry because a parent doesn't know how in the world are they going to afford all of these things. But my friends, I want you to remember this passage, Matthew chapter number 6 and verse number 25. Jesus says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life." Well, that's hard right there because I like to worry about certain things. I like to worry if I'm going to have enough money when I get to retirement age where I don't have to live on Social Security. I worry about my kids sometimes. And here in this text, Jesus says, hey, don't take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, for your body, for what ye shall put on it. Is the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Well, notice that next question. Are ye not much better than they? The birds, they eat the seeds that God has provided for. And God says, hey, aren't you better than they? If I'm taking care of them, won't I take care of you, is what he's saying. Notice verse number 27, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or whitherall shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Well, there's so much good in those verses. Verse number 32, Jesus says, I already know what you need before you even need it. Provision. If you ever get in your life when you can't meet your needs, you know what you can do? You can take that burden and cast it upon him because he owns everything. John chapter number 11, I'm hurrying, I'm almost done. John chapter number 11, this is the story of Lazarus. I want to point out just a couple of things to you because we're all susceptible to it. Have you ever prayed for God to do something big in your life and it not happen immediately? And you pray and you pray and you pray. In this text, verse number 1, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sister sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, whom thou lovest is sick. You see, they've got a burden. They've got a need that they believe that Jesus can meet, and it's Lazarus being sick. And so they send word to Jesus and saying, hey, he's sick. We need you to come quickly because they believe that Jesus can do the miracle. But verse number 4, when Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Jesus knew exactly what was going to take place. Matter of fact, he would later tell his disciples, he is not sleeping as taking a rest, but Lazarus has died. And when he dies, Mary and Martha are grief-stricken. In verse number 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had laid in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. And many of the Jews came to Mary, or to Martha and Mary, to comfort them concerning their brothers. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat still in the house. And notice what Martha said. Then Martha said unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Have you ever accused God? Now I know you wouldn't say that out loud. I have. God, why'd you let that happen to me? God, don't you know I was serving you, I was doing this and I was doing that, and God, is this the way that you're going to repay me? I've been there. You may not have been there, but I'm telling you, I've been there in my life. And that's where Martha was. Martha said, you know what, God, we sent you word, but you didn't come. You delayed, and if you would have just been here, we wouldn't be going through this sorrow. We wouldn't be going through this grief. Mary said the same thing in verse number 31. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, they followed her, saying, she goeth into the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come to where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Lord, if you would have just listened to us, if you would have just come, we wouldn't be in this deep sorrow. Verse number 33. When Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping which came with her, he groaned in spirit and was troubled. And he said, where have ye laid him? And they said unto him, Lord, come and see. And the shortest verse in all the Bible, Jesus wept. You've heard preachers say this. Why was Jesus weeping? Here's the reason why I believe he was weeping. Because Mary and Martha had stopped trusting Jesus. You see, they knew head knowledge. They knew that Jesus could do all things. They got word to Jesus. They had prayed to Jesus. They had sought Jesus. But Jesus delayed. Jesus didn't do what they thought he was going to do. And now when Jesus shows up, they're accusing, hey, it's your fault. If you had just got here a little sooner, we wouldn't be going through this. I think it broke the heart of Jesus. Because, see, he already knew way back at the beginning of the text, hey, this is for the glory of God. Jesus already knew that he was going to raise Lazarus. Jesus already knew that Lazarus was going to live again. So he wasn't weeping over that. He was weeping over the fact that they had stopped trusting in him. Later on in the text, I was looking for it. I don't see it right now, but Jesus goes to the grave and Martha said, man, he's already been there 4 days. He's already stinking. Not thinking, oh, Jesus is here. Boy, we're fixing to get to see something wonderful. There's been times in my life that I had no other options but to cast my burdens upon the Lord. You know why you can do that? Because he cares for you. You see, I love CJ with all my heart. But you know, God loves her more than I do. I love my children. I love them with everything that I have. I'm so excited that my kids are back in the States. But you know what? God loves them more than I love them. And he says, take all your cares and cast them upon me. Because I care for you. I had already completed this message, and last night when I was laying in the bed moaning and groaning, I was looking through my Facebook, and there popped up a video that made such an impression to me I want to share with you, and I close. Andy Stanley was telling the story about his father, Charles Stanley. He was talking about that early on in Charles Stanley's ministry, he was going through a very difficult period of his life in the church. If he did the right thing, it was going to cost him. Matter of fact, the people that had come against him told him, if you don't do what we want you to do, we will destroy you, we will discredit you, we will ruin your preaching career if you don't do what we tell you to do. If he did what they wanted him to do, there would have been a great financial reward and financial gain. But he knew in his heart it wasn't what God wanted him to do. Andy Stanley tells a story how his dad would come home, and while all this was going on, he would get the family around, and Andy said he was about 8 years old, and his daddy wouldn't tell him all of the circumstances and all the things that had been said and done, but he just let him know, hey, I'm going through a period in my life, and if I don't make the right decision, it could really cost us something. He says there was a lady that during this time that came to his dad's office and brought a painting with him, and it was this painting right here that Roy's going to put up on the screen. It's a painting that I've seen in a lot of houses in my day. It's a real popular painting. It's Daniel in the lion's den. And this lady asked Brother Stanley this. He said, "Do you notice anything about this painting?" I'm going to ask you, do you notice anything about this painting? Which way is Daniel facing? He's facing away from the lions. If I'm there, I'm looking at those lions. See how quick they're going to come and get me. But Daniel, he's not facing the lions. He's away from them, and I believe, probably no doubt, he's praying as he was a man of prayer and asking God. I believe he's casting his burdens upon the Lord. Andy Stanley would go and say this, that his dad wrote a theme, and it was a theme that he taught his kids, and it was a theme that he has lived his ministry out, and it's this: obey God and trust him for the consequences. Obey God and trust him for the consequences. Peter is talking to these Christians that are going to go through some difficult times. What has he said? Obey God. But when those burdens come, wad them up and cast them upon him because he cares for you. Do you have a burden tonight? I promise you, you can give it to him because he cares for you. Let's pray. God, thank you for this promise. And Lord, there's been times, so many times in my life, when I've done just what you've asked, brokenhearted, not knowing where to turn. I take those burdens and lay them at your feet. And not every time things worked out the way that I thought they would work out, but they always worked out for the best because you cared for me. And God, my prayer tonight, if there's one here that's carrying some heavy burdens, God, I pray that tonight would be the night that they would place them at your feet and take those heavy, heavy burdens off of their shoulders and let you work. Let you do what you do best. God, we're so grateful that you love us and that you care for us and that you want what's best for us. God, I pray that you'd touch our hearts tonight. I pray that before we pillow our head, whether it be here or whether it be home, we would just sit down and have a little time with you and just praising you and thanking you for all that you do for us. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with us tonight? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of invitation. Maybe you want to come and just visit with the Lord. Give him your burdens because he cares for you.